Good morning. Welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It's your friend James Shaw. I'm so glad you're here. Happy Wednesday from Southern California, where it is 4:37 in the morning. And we have so many of you in Southern California that get up and do this call live and not just give you cheers and salutes. Cheers and salutes. This is what I do. I just put on what I had on yesterday. This is what I had on yesterday. I throw on the polo, put on the quarter zip. I do flatten my hair because I don't have a lot. Kind of, I'm eventually have the Matt Cannon look. I won't have to worry about it at all. And do the call. After this, I'm going to go to the gymnasium, do my run, get ready, have some breakfast. It's ALC clinic today in Southern California, which is very exciting. And I'm happy to be here. I want to thank Leah McCann for filling in yesterday. How great was Leah McCann? That was awesome. I was on my flight to San Diego yesterday, so... cheers to Leah McCann for filling in. We'll have a great call today. Here's what we're going to do. Second half of the call. So 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. In about 20 minutes, we are going to do my listing is sitting. Now what? And I know the easy thing is to say reduce the price, but some of you are telling me, I asked this in Pivot last night, and some of you are telling me, I've reduced the price so many times. Ultimately, it's still price. We have to recognize that. But going back and telling the seller the same thing over and over and over again may not be working. So we're going to talk perspective around how to do that. I also have some new data about showings. Some new data about showings that's just out that you need to know. So we'll do that at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. But right now, I always like to bring up in the first half of the call something that you've asked inside of Pivot Shift Ahead. And Joanna Brown, love Joanna Brown. Don't even know if she's on. She's in DMV. She's so good. And asked great questions, and she sells a lot of houses. But she asked a couple days ago in Pivot. She says, I've been consistently farming my neighborhood for years now through events, mailers, local marketing, etc. I'm very active in the community, sold many homes here. However, over the past year, I've noticed a shift. Several new listings in my neighborhood are being taken by agents who aren't local, 1 or 2 hours away. Clearly, something about my approach needs to adjust to stay competitive. I'm looking for honest insight. What might I be missing? What could you recommend to increase my listing conversions in my farm? Has anyone else experienced this and turned it around? Appreciate any feedback or strategy suggestions. Now, one of the reminders, and this came up in the answers to her quote or to her post, was you're not going to get them all. Don't worry about it. And that's true. She isn't going to get them all. And she wants to improve her strategy. So let's help her out. Those of you who are farming, first of all, put it in the chat. Has anyone else seen this? Has anyone else seen that deals are going to other people? And then number two, what is your farm strategy just to stay in front so you at least have an opportunity? You're not going to get every deal, but what are you doing to stay in front so that at least when they're considering who to sell, you're someone who crosses their mind? Now, Orly, you say you're seeing this too in New Jersey, so I'm curious of your thoughts. Good morning.
So yes, I farm for the last 35 years, very, very deeply. But I will tell you that since the pandemic, you've got a lot of one and done realtors coming from an hour and a half away, who have never stepped foot in this town, don't know about septics, wells, oil tanks, any of it. However, I attribute it to the online sources, because I can be farming somebody for years. They're my best friends. And all of a sudden, they're just online looking at a house. Oh, what's the big deal? Let me just go take a look at it. And before you know it, the other realtor has engaged with them. They love the house. It's a competitive market. So they figure they have to use that agent. And next thing you know, the agent is listing in this town. So you can do your best and stay in touch with everybody. And if they're in that mode of, I'm thinking of moving, then you've got a better shot. But if they're in that impetuous, let me just take a look, unfortunately, I've lost a lot of business to those one and dones.
And so we're going to lose some of the one and done business. But if you scratch your head early and think about how do I lose less one and done business, is there anything that comes to mind?
Yes. So I've been pushing really a lot on social media, pushing on my postcards, just pushing everything. So when they think of it, and I always remind them, it's never too early to call me. Even if you're 2 to 3 years away, it's a great time to have a consultation. So I'm trying to get them at that very, very early stage where they're just, in fact, I just got a call the other day. They're thinking of retiring in 3 years and capitalizing on this market and going into a rental. So Thank God. But yeah, the one
That's
in
great that
town
they
is
did
killing.
that. It's great that they did it. It's never too early to cause a great expectation to set. Then, Orly, you work in the standard follow-up plan we've taught, which is every time you check
100%.
in. By the way, the last time we talked, you told me your plan was to retire in just about 3 years. Is that still your plan? Oh, the last time we talked, you told me your plan was to retire and sell in about 2.5 years. Is that still your plan? Like just staying in that flow and just working that into your regular conversations.
Absolutely. If they raise their hand, I'm on them like white on rice, but
That's
I
great.
didn't raise
Put it
their
in the
hand.
pipeline. Orly, thank you. Byron, you farm a lot, you door knock, you do all the stuff. I'm curious about your thoughts to help out Joanna Brown.
So hopefully this helps. Obviously, I do a lot of door knocking, but we found, we'd have good conversations with people, and then they would go with another agent and not even call us. So it got us thinking. And so one thing that we started asking, we got a question that we started asking now to everybody we talked to, which I think could help, is we ask, hey, if you had a real estate need in the future, who's your go-to real estate agent? So right, what that leads us into is one, do they have someone that they're already considering? Is there someone we have to compete with, or do they not? And then that way you can go, great, we would love the opportunity to be that resource. And so I can't speak if it's helped yet or not, but I think it's a good question to add.
I mean, there's no bad questions, right? So that's a smart question. At least you know where you sit. And that's part of the battle. Byron, thank you. Appreciate it so much. Cowboys. What do you think of the Cowboys, Byron? I haven't asked you recently. There he goes. He leaves. He's gone. Byron's out. Tennille?
Good morning, James and Pivot Peeps. I do farm a neighborhood, and I've religiously been sending out a monthly postcard through CoreFact, and I've sold 6 houses in the neighborhood. And I'm actually combining a just sold postcard from last week with blessing baskets. So just continuing to touch them through community events. To stay top of mind, as well as they see real estate and they see community service. So keeping to touch those. But yeah, there's always going to be people in the neighborhood that choose another agent. I mean, there's several homes for sale in this neighborhood. So you just keep touching them and you're going to
And
get
see what
some.
happens.
Yeah, you're
Tennille,
going to get
thank you.
some. You're
Thank
welcome.
you, Tennille. Appreciate it. We're answering Joanna Brown's question out of Pivot Shift ahead this morning about farming her neighborhood, but she's lost out on a couple and she's pretty engaged in what's going on in there. She does events and mailers and a lot of marketing and different things, but she just wants to see is there anything she's got to do to improve her strategy. So that's what we're doing right now. In about 15 minutes, for those of you that are here to talk about the listings that are sitting, that's what we'll cover then in about 15 minutes. But Authorine, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning, James, and thank you for the opportunity. So, Joanna, you're not going to get them all. Number one, people always have other relationships with realtors who are friends and relatives, right? Number two, and James has said this a lot, just because you know them doesn't mean that they know you, right? So keep doing what you're doing. And the script that Byron gave was from Bold, right? Who is your go-to? I like to follow that up with, okay, so since Mary Kay is your go-to, may I interview for the spot of number two realtor in case life happens, right? So keep doing what you're doing. Always ask to be considered. And there's always going to be homes in your neighborhood that somebody else sells. You are not going to get them all. Just focus on the ones who are your raging fans. Thank you.
Good stuff. Donna Gilbert, help out Joanna Brown this morning. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. And I did respond to her question online. But I think the strategy of farming has changed slightly. And I think we've got to incorporate some new thinking here. People show up, they're out of the neighborhood, they're not local, but they show up as though they are because they're on social media. And if somebody sends you a video text or is always in your Facebook or whatever with their little face there talking to you, you almost feel like they're local. So I think to counterbalance that, yeah, the postcards, all that great. Yeah, don't stop doing that. But adding in the door knocking like Byron does and other people do on a regular basis, and the events really showing up in their face because the people who are not local can't do that as often as you can. And hang in there because those one and dones, they will be gone and you'll still be standing.
Someone I was talking to this week, Donna, said what she likes to do through from time to time is send personal videos through Instagram, like their DM piece. And Joanna, if you you might look at, and by the way, that's part of the tracker. Like we allow video texts and social media DMs as part of our tracker, that you might look at people on that farm, and while they're on a DTD2 call, and they're getting the postcard, and they're getting the this and the that do you put them on some kind of rotation so that every quarter a video shows up in the DM? And I don't even know that it has to be a personalized one. It could be a little bit more generic, where you don't say a name or something like that, but just something a little out of touch. If we're, on the phones a lot, and you get excited when you log into your Instagram or your whatever, and you see you have a little message. That could be a way to stay in front of them. That could be a way. April says, "I wish you'd get the chats after the calls." You can, April. Every chat is uploaded into the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group every day for 5 years. Is uploaded in Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group. So yes, you can go download the chats. It's really good. Those of you joining us to talk about listings, we're going to do that at the top of the hour, so another 10 minutes or so. But until then, we're helping Joanna with the farming. Melanie Williams, good morning.
Good morning. It's me. I'm that agent. And it's because you may farm that neighborhood, but I farm my sphere, and I probably sold that house to that person. And so now I'm helping them sell.
That could be it too. It could be that it's the agent that they used before. No doubt about that. Could absolutely be that. Anna Kruger, good morning.
Good morning. I have a little, it's similar to what Byron said, but I love the question, when you do hire someone, what are you looking for? And because our team did a lot of farming, and I would find overwhelmingly they didn't know. And it just revealed to me they don't know how to interview an agent because they're not in real estate. I mean, when I got into real estate, I had no idea what days on market was, list price to sales price. So I think when we educate them on what to ask other realtors, it does two things, is you stand out as the expert, and you can also highlight questions to ask people that they should be asking when they're interviewing, which if you have good data for that, it again helps you stick out. So I found a lot of success with farming on just asking them when I did talk to them, what are you looking for in a real estate agent and how are you going to interview them, and educating them on what to ask. And then the second thing that really helped was a quick handwritten postcard that was very short and sweet, but they would hang on to it and often call in. I mean, it could be months later and they would call in and it would be off the postcard because they would reference it. So those two tricks helped a lot.
The idea is just to give yourself the opportunity to even be called. We're not always going to get it, but what is this minor, what can you add that's easy and simple that would help you do that? Nana just gave you some good stuff. Anna, I'm so glad you're part of this community. Thank you so much. You're the best. Dawn Tinder, good morning in O-Town.
Good morning. So I do farm my neighborhood. I've sold 16 homes in here, and I don't always get them. We are, we're just not going to do that. But one little tweak, and it's so easy and it's direct, so it might feel a little uncomfortable, but when you are talking to someone in the neighborhood, you just say, I know you might not be moving now, but when you do, I would love the opportunity to sell your home. Can you give me that opportunity? And just ask them straight out. They may or may not, but at least that's in their head. So when they do go to sell, hey, I told Dawn I was going to let her sell my house or give her the opportunity. So I'm going to call her. So it's just one little simple little tweak.
People like to keep their promises, Dawn. What's important about this call today is, and I do see some stuff in the chat, when's the best time to door knock? What should I drop off? Listen, if farming's not part of your play and door knocking is not something you're committed to do for the next 3 years, then don't do it. I imagine that those that are door knocking would agree. Like, this is not door knocking a neighborhood one time is not going to save everything. This is an example of when I said go double down on the stuff that works and you like, and then we tweak those things. For those of you that are farming, we're talking about what to tweak, maybe what to add. But this is please don't drop everything you're doing and go add door knocking to your strategy unless you're committed to it for the next 3 years. Denise, you're next. Good morning. I've not seen your hand before. Good morning, Denise.
I own my neighborhood and I have done that, but it took me about 8 years to get there. I send 2 cards a year. I own the neighborhood Facebook page. I hold a pool party and a pumpkin patch at my house. And then I use the Augusta rule for taxes. I'm in the neighborhood magazine. I send a newsletter every month. I have a quarterly ladies wine tasting, and it includes anyone who has a local business in the neighborhood. And then they put something into a raffle and then they give that away. So everybody gets to promote their businesses. We do shred day, door knocking. I show up to any event that's already happening there. I do pop buys. I ride around on my golf cart for sunset and wave at everyone. I walk for exercise and try to be genuine.
And she still doesn't get every listing in the neighborhood. Like, she owns it, but still doesn't get every single one of them after all of that. Denise, what advice would you give to Joanna? She is probably very similar in hers, but what advice would you give about just having the right perspective about her farm?
Just keep doing what you're doing, because people will see who you are. And that's what's really important. If you're genuine and you care about the people around you, they're more likely to use you than someone else. And you have to respect the other people that are loyal to their agents, because you'd want people to be loyal to you as well.
It's good stuff. Denise, thank you. All right, Joanna Brown, I want to hear your takeaways. What did you write down in your notes? What is it that maybe you can implement that might help you? Joanna Brown, I'm curious.
Good morning. So thank you so much for doing this, James.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking the questions.
Well, there's a lot of, I read a lot of the comments in the chat, and then now here. I liked what, I can't remember who just spoke, but I liked what she said. I do a lot of what she does, but she seems really intentional. Like, I have a golf cart for business purposes, but I don't drive around at nighttime, you know, and wave to people. So I thought about doing a coffee thing. But just like Donna Gilbert said, just be out there face to face. That's the key. What happened here was, I've noticed a lot of agents, and I don't know the sellers. So my question basically was, how do I get to know everybody in the neighborhood? These were sellers that I've never met, even though I'm intentional in the neighborhood. So a lot of good things I'll have to go back and reread.
Who knew that being a princess and driving around in a golf cart and waving to people was right. The right strategy? But it could be, right? That just being visible and being genuine, which is who you are, Joanna, you're a genuine person, you're kind, you care about others. And then taking some of the questions that came up and the different strategies and making sure you're following up. Look, we're not going to get every deal.
Right.
But put yourself, you want the opportunity for as many of
them as possible. Correct. Yeah. Thank you.
That's really good. Joanna, you're good at farming. So now I want you to give advice based on your experience. Here you're going in, an experienced agent, sells a lot of houses, good at farming your neighborhood, and yet you're still asking questions, which I cheers to you for that. But what would your advice be to those that are farming the neighborhood based on what you've learned?
I would do a lot of different things. I'm having a Halloween parade for the neighborhood this weekend. I do dog things. I do the flags, all the things. I walk my dogs every day and I talk to people. So it's really, and I'm on social media. What I've been doing is, I'm going to have a coffee get together with the women in social media, in the neighborhood. I guess basically what Donna said, belly to belly, face to face, is huge. I had book night last night with ladies in my neighborhood. So just constantly reaching out any other way possible and not throwing it in their face about buying or selling a house.
Yeah.
Just connect. Yeah. Connect with people. That's it. It's all about connection.
It is. And then I loved Orly's advice that the minute they tell you they might do something even down the line, to put that in the pipeline.
Yes.
And
that was
then
awesome.
In your check-ins, hey, by the way, the last time we talked, you told me your plan was to blah, blah, blah in 3 years. Is that still what you're thinking about doing? Just as an easy little add-in to your regular conversation.
Yeah, you're planting a seed, really.
That's great. Yeah. Joanna, thank you. I appreciate
thank you.
You got it. I appreciate everybody who asks questions. I would encourage all of you to ask more. Like, just get in that Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group and think of the conundrums that you're having, the challenges, the issues, the stuff you're trying to figure out, and go and pivot and ask and leverage this community to help you. Hey, everybody. What's up? It is 7:57 Eastern, 4:57 Pacific, where I am in Southern California, Carlsbad, California this morning. It is early, 4:58. But we have an ALC clinic today in Carlsbad with Southern California and Inland Empire regions. I get to see Allison Brent, I think, today, and maybe some others. But I just need to, every time I come out to the West Coast, I have to applaud those of you that get up at this ridiculous hour every day. Who is the weirdo that decided to host a call at 8 o'clock Eastern that people on the West Coast have to get up at 5 o'clock for? But cheers to all of you that do that. And thank you to everyone who's here. We had a very nice pre-show conversation today about some farming and how to stay truly engaged in the neighborhood so you can maximize your listing opportunity. Joanna Brown brought it up where she said that she had lost out on a few from agents who weren't even in the area, out-of-town agents. And she's like, how do I better connect with my people? We had great ideas. So if you're watching the YouTube or Facebook recording of this, you need to drop everything. Go to your favorite podcast platform, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, whatever, and go search Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind and listen to the first half of today's call. You can find it on any podcast platform. Now we're going to switch and talk a little bit about listings. I went into Pivot last night and I just asked, what's your biggest challenge this quarter? And a lot of people are talking about listings sitting. And I want to do more than just saying it's overpriced, go reduce the price. Like, I want to have a genuine conversation about what are those conversations like with your sellers in listings that are sitting? How are we bringing up the price reductions again? Are there other things you're considering? And I have some new data on showings that I think can tell you a little bit about why listings are sitting. We'll do that in just a second. But before we do all that, we're going to take two something goods. Okay, we're going Z because we haven't heard from Z in a while. And we're going Alice and Brent because they're up early and I'm up early. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Z, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much. My something good is like orphan buyers. They really was not orphan buyer, but the daughter closed with me and she wanted more investment property. And I had a listing and I called her. She connected me with her mother. So far this year, she had purchased 5 investment properties from me, and we just went pending on 3. So this year so far. So yeah, for the end of the year. So just keeping that in mind, just if someone says something, follow up. Thank you.
Follow up with them, and it could turn into 8 deals. I mean, hello. That's good stuff. Alice and Brent, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Listen, we are excited. We are some of those crazy Californians that get up at 4:30 in the morning to see James. And, you know, the times that we do have to come see James, we have to fly all the way on the East Coast to do that. So we are excited to have you out here in California. And some of the rewards of that are we're going to have some macadamia nut cookies for you, James, and seeing you at the ALC clinic that you're going to do. Excited to be able to share you with so many of our West Coast agents. And we know that some of the other pipsters are going to be out here, Judy Gill. And we even hear there's some Las Vegas agents that are going to be out here too. So we're excited to have you here, James.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. I am so excited about it. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Alice texted me. I think Alice texted me last week. She was like, can you take this extra carry-on home with you? I'm going to fill it with cookies. I'm like, I wish I could, but Delta only lets you have 2 bags. So you're always thinking about us. Alice, you have something to add? I muted everybody, yeah, so you have to come back off of mute.
Okay, do you want white chocolate chips or dark chocolate chips?
Well, both, please. If you could just bring both, that would be great. And then I don't have to choose.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Alice, I appreciate you. Whatever is easy, Alice, is fine. I'm agreeable to cookies. We've been watching a lot of British baking, Great British Baking Show, and I'm all into the cookies and the pies and the breads and all the stuff. All right, let's get after it this morning. A quick reminder, today at 2 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Eastern, we have a very special Wednesday webinar that I'm hosting. It's just me, and I have a series of questions that I want you to think about. They're reflection questions as you reflect on 2025 and prepare for 2026. You know, what happened or what worked and what's next? That's the title of the session. What worked and what's next? It's today at 2 o'clock Eastern time, and I hope you will join me. jamesdshaw.com/Wednesday webinar. jamesdshaw.com/Wednesday webinar. It'll also be posted as a podcast at 2 o'clock Eastern as well. Inspire members, I have a special reflection worksheet for you as well that goes right along with the call. You do not need it for the session. In fact, I would recommend not having it when you're watching the session and just watch the session and then go back later and answer the questions. And that'll be available to you in the portal. But that's 2 o'clock Eastern today. What worked? What's next? 2 o'clock Eastern, jamesdshaw.com/Wednesday webinar. All right, so let's go to the task at hand, which is what most of you are here for. And that was this question I asked in Pivot last night of what's the biggest challenge? The most common one was listing sitting. It's the most common one. Now, we know why listings sit. They sit because they're overpriced. That's the reason that they sit. But they may feel a little bit different right now. I just pulled the data this morning on showings. Showing Time says that showings are down 11% from last year and 18% below the 12-month average. There are just fewer people out looking around. Showings are down. Then you take that, inventory is up, and interest rates, while they've kind of settled down a little bit, are still higher than what people had a few years ago. You have all of these things hitting you that are saying that people just aren't looking at homes like they were. Now, that doesn't mean that your listing can't sell. It has to be priced right. Because if we think about it, when a listing is sitting, it is because of price. And people run into a couple of spots. Well, we've done a bunch of reductions. I want to know what's a bunch of reductions and by how much. Like $1,000, $5,000, $10,000 is probably not a reduction. But how many 5 and 10% reductions did you do? And then, like Hope Derrick said, I know what to say. I know what to tell them. They're just being stubborn. Like, Hope, did you say you have four sellers that are just being really stubborn?
Well, what I meant was the listings are stubborn. Like, the sellers are cooperating, and we've done the things. We've done the 5% at least on all of them, to be honest with you. But it's just been crickets for some reason. Like, I've even, like, partnered with my lender, and he does a flyer for me each week of different things, like, maybe they're 100% financeable or different perks. I don't know. Like, it's not necessarily the sellers are stubborn, more or less the listings are being stubborn.
So what do you think's the answer, Hope? Like, you're a good agent. You know what you're doing. You're working on the price reductions. But here we also know inventory is up and showings are down. Like, what do you think is the answer to help these sellers?
I mean, I know ultimately the answer is price, but I also know that, like, I want to try other things. I don't want to just call them on my weekly call every week and say, okay, reduce
every
the price.
Every week you got to reduce the price. You got to reduce the price.
I don't want that to be my only solution. Like, I want other things to try. Like, I want other tactics to attempt, and that's what I hope to learn from you guys.
What are some of the tactics that you have attempted?
Well, other than price reduction, and as I was saying, I have a lender that weekly looks at all of my active listings, and he'll send me something to market around. So, like, this week he did, if the sellers, and this is something for me to go to my sellers and talk to, if they would give a credit for a rate buy down, how much that would mean on a loan, you know, different, I don't know. We're just trying different things from the lender, to market around. We've done the open, like, we do all the things. We've done the open houses. To be honest with you, it's football season. We don't always get a ton of people at open houses right now, but other than price and trying to partner with a lender, that's really the only thing we've been able to.
Well, let's get some more ideas, and there are some great hands up, Hope. So we're going to get some more ideas. I'm going to bounce around a little bit. Tulio, you're going to go first. Good morning, friend.
Good morning. I have a newer strategy that I'm testing out because I know a couple of other agents who it's been successful for. There's a guy named Jamie that runs a team across the hall from me, my Keller Williams. And he and I put our heads together all the time. And that's one of the things. I went to one of my clients 2 weeks ago with this exact situation. And I told him, hey, and the cool thing is a lot of our clients are being cool. They understand this is a tough market right now. They're not putting any blame on me at all. A lot of them go, it's the market, I understand. And they use every reason possible. But the first thing I do is I tell them, well, I brought this to my group. I have a mastermind group. Sometimes I even show them pictures, like multiple pictures of us. I go, this is who I brought the problem to, the situation to see what we can come up with. I tell them the story of how I'm trying to figure this out so that it's not just me going, market sucks, you know? And what Jamie shared with me was this strategy where, and all I could get from them was a $10,000 price reduction. But what Jamie taught me was he said, do $1,000 10 days in a row. Do one drop of $1,000 10 days in a row and let them know that the different websites keep seeing this price reduction, price reduction, price reduction, price reduction, 10 days in a row and just see what happens. Now I did it. It didn't sell, but we got more showings. The two other agents that I know, they're sold. I'm going to try it again with the next client I can convince to do. It could be 15 $1,000 price reductions. okay? But it's just something to try. And but the story is what they appreciated, that I wasn't just doing nothing, that I'm getting together with other people, trying to figure it out for them and doing something unique, something different.
Being on this call is part of that, is an example of that. Your listings today and say, I spent my morning masterminding with 1,000 agents from across the country. And this is what's happening to us is happening to a lot of people. And that showings are down, and that interest is a little bit lower than it's been. And yet homes are still selling, and here's some things that we can do. You know, of course, Inspire members, I remind you to go back to the April 15th call that we did with Aaron Simons and Emily Baker, where they laid out the whole plan for you. And then, by the way, Aaron and Emily are back next Tuesday to give you your blueprint. They call it your blueprint for Q1 listing domination. So Inspire members, you want to be on that next Tuesday at noon Eastern. Link is in the portal. Natalia, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning. So I would say sometimes, like you said, outside of it, it's just keeping that open communication. We just actually had our client sign on the sale of a home, and they did not want to lower it. They were stuck on it. So just setting that expectation that it's going to take longer. And sure enough, we were able to get under contract. We were able to get a pretty good close to asking, close to what they wanted to. And in the long story of it, they knew that they were kind of like asking a little bit more than they wanted to. They didn't land in their number. They were a little bit off at the end of it. But they were ultimately happy because of that communication.
That's why we got to know our days on market, the neighborhood averages, list to sale price ratios, so that we can share that kind of stuff with them. Like sometimes we're freaking out when we don't really need to freak out, because the days on market just says it's going to take 45 days right now. Like it's just going to take a little bit longer. Natalia, thank you. Great share. Maria Sims, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so it is a price war and a beauty contest right now. And so it definitely starts before you even list that home. You have to do the little things. That means you've got to be honest with your seller, remove all the cat toys, remove all the dog toys, do everything you can before you even go live, do good coming soon, do marketing beforehand. And then like the price, it really is a strategy. Like I'm finding you have to look back and see, if you were planning on pricing them, if the market data said 540, but nothing has moved in a month and a half between 525 and 540, then you need to go look at the price points above and below that. So for instance, I had this the other day, and there was a lot of activity and homes. There had been 4 pendings this week between 519 and 525. So I told my folks, I said, hey, listen, if your plan and your motivation says you want to be gone by this day, then we need to be between this, at 519 instead of the 540. So it's having those tougher conversations, but you've got to have the data. You've got to put in the work. You've got to be the expert. And, then rotate out. Like I love Tulio's $1,000 a week. I know right now when I'm getting the pricing wrong, and that's on us, when we get it wrong as an agent, it's usually more than $1,000 I've gotten wrong. But what I will say is he isn't wrong. I think staying fresh and top of mind, sometimes that is a dollar price reduction, and switching out the pictures. So we have changed that. We're changing out our pictures. Your top 5 pictures are your money shots. You want to rotate those babies every single week. So just keep flipping, keep trying, let your seller know in advance. They should never call you. You should always call them first. And that's how you keep the seller's nerves at bay. And that's how you prove you're the expert. But then at some point, if they're unrealistic, you just got to say, how long are we willing to do this before we get to the price that it's going to take to sell? And those are some tough conversations I've just had to have lately.
All good stuff. A couple things in that. Maria reminded you of a key piece from Shift that we bring up in here all the time. And honestly, if I can be very transparent, most of you forget. And that is, pricing is a strategy question, not a value question. And you're going in and looking at it like a seller looks at it, and you're thinking about the value that they want to get from it. And many agents are not looking at pricing as a strategy. You need to be here by this time, then we must be priced here. Maria just gave you the strategy. And then I love the question, how much longer do we want to do this before we actually price it right? Hey, do you see what Byron put in the chat? Byron and Charlotte What did you say, that homes without a price reduction are selling faster and for more?
So homes, well, this is third quarter stats. So, but homes that were priced right, that had no price reductions, sold in on average between 7 and 8 days. And those that had a price reduction, one or more, were taking somewhere between 70 and 80 days to sell.
And for less money. So this is my point, is that you don't need to wait 30 days to know that the home is overpriced. You know in a week. You know in a week if it's overpriced based on eyeballs, feet, and contracts. Byron, thank you. Jason, you're next. Jason, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, James. This is an interesting conversation because in where we're located in the Philadelphia suburbs, we are kind of an anomaly in this market. We're in the tail end of the shift, and we're just starting to see all this stuff. In our office, we're bringing back what we've always done called get your listing sold. So we'll meet in the office, we'll take a look at the MLS sheet, we'll pick that apart, make any suggestions, then we'll actually go out to the house as a group. Everybody will take notes, make their recommendations, come back to the office, and then share those recommendations in writing so that the listing agent can take that back to the seller. Hey, here's what 14 agents from our office had to say about your listing. And sometimes the sellers who thought it was just our opinion or just, oh, that's you, that's what your gut's telling you. It's kind of like a little mini broker open type thing. It's now I have the evidence and the suggestions from all these other people in my office that are telling us the same thing. And that usually when we do that, we implement that, we see either an immediate price reduction or something that was a glaring problem with the home. And we've had some pretty good results from doing that.
That's great. Jason, great share. Thanks for sharing that. Cindy, you're next. Good morning.
James, thank you. And thank you so much for being on my video. It was
really special.
It was amazing. Thank you. One of the things we never did before was bring active listings. We never did that. We brought them to show what their competition was. There's three categories, the dream world, and then the pendings, which are, they priced it correctly because they got an offer, and then the solds. And we never brought them because we never used them the way that we're using them now because of the days on market that they're seeing and the way that they're seeing that price. So if we're sitting after we think we've done the best that we can of pricing, we went into a house going there saying we think it's worth $210. We went there. They said, we're definitely too high, 180. And we ended up getting it down to 124. And it just needs tons of work. We didn't know, but taking, not worrying about offending them and going to exactly the same price. And then switching the pictures, exactly what Maria said to do, but also we relist something. If it has been more than 15 days now, we will start it as new. And I'm knocking on wood as we speak. It has worked to do that 5 to 10% price reduction at that time, relist it new. And agents obviously don't pay attention to the market because they'll say, I saw your new listing. Do you have any offers yet? And it's amazing to me that it's the same house that's been on for 34 days. So total shift in the way we're presenting anymore.
This is not at all what you were doing in Cincinnati even 6 months ago.
No.
Right. And that's the point that I was attempting to teach in the spring and in the summer, is that the way you get ahead is act like the market that's coming, not the market you're in. Jason says we're on the, we're just starting to get there. I would love it if you all looked at this as you're working with a seller and you looked at this market and pretended that it was 2010 and that it was just that the inventory was at record levels. But there were virtually no buyers. And that was your attitude when you went in to look at it. Every listing you take would sell. If you just acted as if the market was the most intense buyer market in history, because then you would price it based on a strategy and not on value. And then you would make sure that it was a beauty contest and a price war, that the house looked great and was priced right. Like, you would do those things. And some of you are still living in 2021. Where all you have to do is put it in the MLS and say sure to the price and then just trust that 82 offers are coming. They're not. And if you want a strong fourth quarter, we've got to be priced in an effective way. Orly, you get the last word. Sorry to everybody I didn't get to, but I'm sure we'll talk pricing again.
Absolutely. So listen, I've got PTSD from 2008 to 2012, carrying 40 listings at a time, having those conversations every single week and dreading it. And in fact, a lot of you are afraid to have those conversations with the seller because you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. And you think it's a reflection on you and the listing is about to expire. And oh my God, I can't tell them I need another price reduction. But it's time for tough love. It's time to tell them, rip off the Band-Aid. It's going to hurt like hell, but then it's over. Because as the market continues to decline, you are simply losing more money. And I would hate to see that for you, because I saw people who didn't reduce and then went into short sales. Tell them those stories. Get ahead of it. You know, I love the sellers that ask me, what else can we do to market the house? And I tell them, did you think I have a magic wand in my back pocket that I was waiting for this moment? It's all about the extreme price reduction. Let's get ahead of your competition. Look at everybody else that's on the market. Look at where they are. They're not moving either. So let's rip off that Band-Aid, get ahead of it, and let's see what happens. I promise you, this is the only, let's lead the market and not chase it.
That's it. That's it. And just be honest. And by the way, if you did have some magic idea, wouldn't you have done it from the
exactly.
start?
Exactly. Like, I'm not holding back on you. I mean, they all right. think we're holding back on that one secret magic potion.
Yeah, there isn't one. The secret magic potion is pricing it right from the start. But I do get that you don't want to just continue to go back and say, we got to reduce the price. So hope you got some ideas today, you know, to go back to those sellers and try to help them. I love that you're here. The calls we have on this are designed to help you get better. Do you remember the one we had last week about this comfort happening inside versus outside of your comfort zone? Would you all do me a favor if you have the Instagram? Would you go to the Instagram, James D. Shaw on the Instagram? Look at the thing I posted yesterday about that. I want people who are not part of this call to see what we're talking about on this call so that they'll participate. So will you go to the Instagram, James D. Shaw, and find my post from yesterday and just share that with people so they understand the difference and they can see what we talk about. And then someone said in the chat, can we talk about pricing once a week? Sure, if that's what it takes. I think we need to be reminded more than we need to learn new stuff. So we can do a pricing call once a week. That's cool with me. Tomorrow, we're going to do another one of your challenges that came up, by the way. You've been posting a bunch of challenges inside the Facebook group. We'll do another one tomorrow and another one on Friday. All right, that's it. It's 5:20. I got to kick it. You got to kick it. Go have a great day. I'll see you at 2 o'clock Eastern for the Wednesday webinar. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration. Bye, everybody.